Do you struggle to feel close to God in the middle of your hectic, stressful days? When your mind is racing, prayer can feel like just another task instead of a place to rest. Discover a new way to connect with God in Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker. This beautiful guide helps you weave prayer into your everyday routines through simple movements, grounding practices, and connection tools. Even in the middle of your busy life, God is near, inviting you to rest in His presence. Prayer in Motion is available now wherever books are sold.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid, anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Are you ready?
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
You all know exactly who I am.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. Is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
For all these fans who are in the stands and those who are watching on TV, what does this do to set up Texas for a springboard into next season?
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
Texas is back, folks!
If he would have just said Texas is back, folks, that would have won everything. Everyone would have lost their mind if he could have done that.
What if he did a hybrid? Okay, cool, Texas is back.
Folks, that would have checked all the boxes. If he said, okay, cool, Texas is back, folks, that would have been everything. Instead, you just have to settle for a bunch of touchdowns and most outstanding players. The two touchdown underdog Longhorns go into New Orleans and whip the Georgia Bulldogs from start to finish in a game that Tom Herman basically treated like he was some crazy Division II coach who never punts and never. I mean, Tom Herman went for everything. He was foot pedal to the metal the entire 60 minutes. He was throwing with 2 minutes to go and a 14 point lead.
Everything you got to win it. It's not just going to come to you. You got to go get it. And that's what we talked about Monday. Tom Herman loves a big game, man. Tom Herman loves a big game. The hype started with winning big games, winning Oklahoma, right, when he was with the Cougars.
First game with Houston, the game against Florida State in the bowl game in the Louisville. Orange Bowl. Louisville came to town, and they got whacked. Lamar Jackson got whacked for maybe his worst game in college. Now he gets Kirby Smart in the Sugar Bowl.
And Todd Orlando. Todd Orlando also loves a big game. We got to start giving him love. He loves a big game. Oh,
you don't think he got enough love yesterday? They showed Todd. I think they may have showed Todd Orlando more than they showed Tom Herman.
They showed him too much, in my opinion. Chill out with all these openings. he's going to walk into that office and go, hey, man, I know I just got a raise last summer. I know I was linked to a few jobs, but
Todd Orlando's that guy who right now is really going to get hot after this game. Mm-hmm. He's been respected in the coaching biz for a while. He's a very good coach. You know, Longhorn fans will crap on him every once in a while because y'all crap on everybody.
Don't give up 500-plus yards to OU.
The offense coordinator. Hey, it's hard stopping OU. Ask Alabama.
I know. I'm just joking.
Every Longhorn fan hates Tim Beck. Yeah. Most Longhorn fans don't really like Tom Herman. Maybe they'll switch. Do you find that to be the case?
I love Herman.
What do you find to be the case? I find that people haven't been completely on board, and maybe this will get them on board.
I hope it gets them on board because there's some of that fear of what if this is Charlie all over again? Because last year, when you go in and you're 6-6 going in your bowl game and you beat Missouri, but it was Missouri, right? It was
but you didn't have, I brought that up to my wife. I'm like, he gets his guys ready to play. Look what he did against Missouri. She's like, who cares? Missouri wasn't any good. I said, Texas had 5 starters out. They had 5 guys just sitting out because they didn't like Tom Herman. They didn't want to be there. I mean, and Connor Williams, legit dudes.
And that was prime SEC hype going into last bowl season because it was Alabama. Look, they have 2 teams. They have 2 really awesome teams in the CFP. Mm-hmm. That's the SEC. It's the greatest conference ever. The SEC, the entire conference outside of Alabama.
It comes SEC slander.
It's not slander. It's the truth. Outside of Alabama, so don't misconstrue this for anything else. Outside of Alabama, is that entire conference built on losses? We had a close loss to Alabama. Hey, close loss to Clemson.
No, it's built on winning against other conferences.
You're the best college football insider person that cares about it.
Hater. I'm not an insider.
The history. Okay, you're really good at this. Is that true or not that the SEC, the entire conference outside of Alabama, who, my God, that is an NFL team. Okay, I want to ask that question later to you guys in a sec. Later in the show. Is that entire conference built on losses, close losses? That's what they hype up.
Well, I got no love for Texas, so watching the game, it wasn't like, oh, I really need Texas to beat Georgia to shut up, SEC fan. But you could hear the smile in Herb Street's voice during the Rose Bowl and his call of the Orange Bowl talking about how, because remember, going into the final weekend for the playoffs, or at least the final decision on Sunday, he's talking about how Georgia should be in. Because you can't tell me they don't belong in because, you know, they lost a close game to Alabama. They lost a close game to Alabama. You can't tell me they're not one of the best teams in the country. So you could kind of hear early on, even when Oklahoma was getting smoked, you heard the smile in his voice when he would talk about it. You heard the smile during the Rose Bowl talking about Georgia.
I had a smile in my voice when Notre Dame was getting beat.
Yeah, no one likes Notre Dame. I get that part.
Don't call that.
No, but I thought Georgia was one of the 4 best teams. But
yeah, but
you know, I still think they probably are. But when you get your ass kicked, that's
Tar Heels' point. Yes. The SEC gains their shine from the big dog in Alabama. And if you happen to play Alabama within a score, then all of a sudden you get elevated even with the loss.
That's true.
What was Georgia's biggest win of the season?
Probably Florida. Which Florida turns out to be a good football team.
Well, now Kentucky, Florida beats Michigan.
Florida and Kentucky.
Florida was like, just kind of cruising. And at the end, they smacked Michigan again. They smacked Michigan again. Mm-hmm.
Well, Michigan has beat them the last couple times, but
is it Michigan had beaten them? I thought. Yeah, when was Michigan it last time that them, Florida rolled them?
Michigan beat them to start off last year in the.
Michigan World. Beat them. I'm thinking of a bowl game where Michigan Florida beat them, smashed them.
Michigan beat them too. This is
in
this
the Taxslayer Bowl.
I forgot. It was one of those bowls.
I think so. Yeah. I actually think that's
right. It really was.
Yeah, Michigan has beaten them the last couple times, and they got some get back.
Don't you ever joke about the Taxslayer Bowl?
No.
I would never speak ill about
isn't
the
Taxslayer. Isn't that where the Aggies dominated NC State? Was that the Taxslayer Bowl?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And Florida smashed them anyway.
They're the champions of tax returns.
Wouldn't you want? That's don't you want a great tax return, Raheel?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the champions.
I need a CPA. Chives. Somebody, because I always just do it online, and I know I'm getting screwed. I know there's like...
You're not getting enough off.
I'm not getting enough. I'm always owing. I don't know.
Really?
And I don't even know how to... You know what I do?
You can write off every time you drive to work, you can write those miles off.
See, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at finessing tax returns.
Yeah.
You know what I do? I just go, damn, I love this country.
You just don't take any chances.
I don't take this country. Yeah. I don't take this country for granted. I don't take these roads for granted.
Yeah, you have a child you're writing off.
Yeah.
You have any medical expenses you can write off. Any interest on are you buying a home?
I pay my mortgage.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Your interest,
the mortgage points, all that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a thing. I don't know if I'm putting it in correctly.
I write this off.
Okay, I need it.
My father-in-law, right, I asked
coffee?
Him. Yeah, I asked him. I buy it for work. What? Give me a. He goes. Absolutely. That's just like business lunches and stuff like that. You know, when you eat at work or blah blah blah. He said, yeah.
So could I hypothetically get a personal trainer, write that off for work because I want to look good on camera for our web stream?
Yes, if that was an expense. The web stream is a harder sell for us, but I don't know. Maybe for IRS, it's worthy. I don't know. Can we see how many people are watching right now?
I don't know.
Like, can you see the number?
I don't know where you get the numbers.
Yeah, I can get the number for you.
Technically, like people at NFL Network write that stuff off.
They do.
If they have like
a bronzing, they have to go get bronzed up.
Well, as makeup artists, but I suppose they could. That's for your work. Yeah. You're spending money for your job.
Like, Shannon Sharp is awesome on TV. He's awesome.
Dude, whenever you buy...
He's yoked. That's why he really stands out.
When you rent... you don't rent a UFC pay-per-view. But if you did, write it off.
I did once.
Sunday ticket, I write it off.
You do?
Yes.
All right, I got to give it to your father-in-law.
Yeah. It's all. Those are business expenses. That's for what we do. This business is called sports.
Netflix? I watched that that documentary, the soccer documentary.
Oh, Sunderland?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I watched the preview. You
didn't. He watched the trailer.
He did the rollover feature?
Yeah.
I want to see all the mates coming out here, and we're not going to have a chance to go relegation. No, it's not going to happen anytime.
What is he? What's happening?
I always watch it as I'm like rolling over to the next show. Oh, is that Avengers Infinity War? What? There's a war over Infinity, and I'm gonna
watch it now that it's on Netflix. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna check it out
because going with an open mind.
Name? What's the name that I heard all in 2018?
Thanos.
Yeah,
you got to really Thanos.
He was like the hot name in 2018.
Yeah, he really won 2018.
Yeah,
pop culture wise, Thanos was the winner.
You mean Josh Brolin? Dude was in Deadpool 2 as Cable. And with Thanos.
Musically, Man of the Year. I named Travis Scott Man of the Year in Musical.
Did you name Man of the Year the other day?
Did you actually name him Man of the Year? Did you go brr, brr? How did you give him his own brr, brr, brr.
Travis, congratulations. You've been named Man of the Year by ESPN 97.5's Raheel Robinson only. Anything you want to say? Brr, brr, brr.
Travis, those aren't actually words that you just...
If Dave Chappelle was doing the Chappelle Show, he would be doing that, right? And then in the subtext, it would just be...
100% would have a Travis.
I'm extremely honored to be presented this award.
It'd be Travis's inner voice as opposed to what we actually hear. Very eloquent.
Yeah!
Man, will these count against my freaking Flyers miles?
Yeah, that's back when he was doing Lil Jon. Now he'd be doing all the lean rappers would be on his radar. So we almost saw a human death yesterday on the pregame of Texas and Georgia.
Should I ask that question right now?
Yeah, ask.
Okay. So if you missed it.
Tell people what happened.
Before the game, Bevo was in his little cage. And by the way, for those of you that don't watch college football, I get it. This is it's that time of the year where everyone's watching. And you might not have watched college football ever in your life. There are some people on Twitter that I follow that were like, hey, it's probably not the best idea that there is a 2,000-pound beast in a setting of 100,000 people.
That animal has been so drugged up for so many years. It looked like they just said, let's just see how he does off his meds.
Let me tell
you how people do off their meds. Have you ever heard anything good about somebody where somebody said, you know, he's been off his meds and he seems to be doing great. I always hear he went off his meds and then something terrible.
You want to know?
Always.
Okay. You know who's really great off his meds? Kanye West.
Well, but for you, great is like a train wreck.
Yeah.
Like, great is relative.
That's what I'm saying. You're right. Nobody ever goes, he's off his meds and he's doing great.
You know what? He's off his meds. And like, what happened?
What's the tone? This is a better tone. Yo, this is what happens.
All right.
He's off his meds.
Oh man. What'd he do?
So people were freaking out. Like, wait. Why? Who thought this would be a good idea to bring a 2,000-pound beast in front of 100,000 people? He does it every weekend. Literally every weekend.
Inside this time, you think it's a bigger deal?
Yeah.
He does it all
the
time.
He's freaking out.
That's a pretty tight little confined space.
He
lost his bleep over a dog. Like, that dog had him shook.
So Bevo leaves his little fencing.
Like a mouse and an elephant.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, I got to get this bulldog. There's somebody on my turf. He leaves the compartment. There's photographers everywhere because at that point, you've covered every storyline. So you just got to get a picture of the mascots. Everyone's around it. They're like, okay, guys, we're doing our ceremonial mascot meetup before the game. There's 100 photographers there. There's one that is trying to get a shot of Uga, like a floor shot, right? Like she's on the ground, on her knees, getting a shot right where the cage is or the fencing is, and Beaver loses his mind and runs over that fencing and almost gores her. So my question is, man, I'm like, God bless nothing happened because that could have been bad.
Yeah.
But if that lady was gored, do they play that game?
I think the game still goes on. I know that they canceled an entire game because of lightning. They canceled a game because of lightning and bad weather. The emergency responders bowl or first responders, whatever it is. If the lady gets gored, they probably throw like something around her so you can't see.
No, they're not going to leave her there.
They offer service. They offer and they try to help and all that stuff. And then they get her out of the public sight because you don't want to do it in public sight anyway. And then whatever happened, happened, and the game kicks off 11 minutes later.
You're worrying about the wrong thing. If Bevo gores that woman.
Do they put Bevo down?
That's the discussion. No.
I've gone through a death of a Bevo.
What do you
when
mean?
I was at college.
Yeah?
Bevo passed away.
Yeah.
Well,
he wasn't put down like a pit bull.
No, they were
like pretty much.
The thought is Bevo too dangerous to be around people? And do we have to put him down?
Yeah.
No.
If he gores a woman.
You can't let Bevo.
He has a taste of human blood.
But maybe.
If Bevo has. He has a taste of human blood. You can't let him live.
But it wasn't Bevo's fault. Bevo was being Bevo.
I'm not eating that steak because it is just pumped full of bad stuff.
That's fine, Bevo. Man.
Well, you would eat that steak and you would definitely have picograms in your system.
That's fine.
you would test.
If you ate that Bevo, you 100% that's the would steak test. That would be a PEDS test.
That's the steak Dwayne Brown ate in Mexico. That's why you got Bevo? Popped. Yeah, that rage steak.
Look, if Bevo gores a woman,
taste the blood.
There are thoughts about with the taste of blood, does Bevo have to be put down? Because they put bears down when they kill.
100%. 100%. Longhorn.
So do they cut out Bevo? Like, that's it? The tradition stops?
Yes.
Or is there a new Bevo?
No, there's a thought of, do we ever have a live animal mascot again?
Yes, they'll have a Bevo, and it would not be in the stadium again.
There would be a Bevo, but the only Bevo you would ever see around people is the ones in those stuffed costumes.
Yeah,
man.
You'd have it'd be like having Toro. Do you see any, why don't they have a bull running onto the field
like
with
Ralphie's
game?
How come the Texans have their own version of Ralphie?
Ralphie's dragged people before, too.
Yeah.
Because Texans, that's a bitch-ass franchise sometimes.
I mean,
that's how we really hard, we put a 2,000-pound beast.
That's true. University of Texas put their mascot damn near gored a dog, a photographer, and one guy who was sitting there trying to handle security. That's how hard Texas goes. And you know what? Okay. After it happens... Georgia was shook. The whole team was shook after that.
You see Uga like, and he's all breathing hard afterwards. That's the most physical thing he's done in his whole life.
And those English Bulldogs, like, they've got the worst hearts.
Yeah.
Everything about their health is terrible.
He looked like a 320-pound defensive lineman.
Hold up.
Against a team running the spread. He couldn't get off the field.
No. Hold on. Let me change it up. Let's say the woman didn't get gored. What if Bevo got to hold two shots on Uga?
They're putting Bevo down.
And you see blood pouring out of Uga.
If he kills a dog.
And Uga gets caught up on the horn. And he's like throwing Uga around the horn. It's not funny, Raheel. It's not funny. He's got Uga. And Uga's sitting there and they like flings it off of his horn. It wouldn't have been all fun and games because, like, there's somebody they played an audio broadcast of this where these guys are going, "This is the greatest thing I've ever seen." Let a dog get gored by Bevo in the horn, and I wonder how everyone would have handled.
Okay, do they play that game then?
If Uga dies,
they might not play.
They might
Uga
not
dies.
Play if Uga dies.
Now, I mean, if the woman got gored, they'd have rolled her off the field. Yeah. Let's kick it off.
But if Uga's like being kicked. Tossed around by the horns, then gets tossed into the field because Bevo's had enough.
You can't keep the game going. You gotta call the game off for that. Uga, And then they get enough. And then does Texas have to pay for a new Ugga? How does that work?
I'm sure they breed those dogs.
Is that insurance?
They're probably expensive. Chill.
Do they have an insurance? Is there a lawsuit?
Nah, chill. We have to pay Todd Orlando. Gotta pay him more.
You can't pay the breeder fees for a new Ugga.
Yeah. We can't dip into that pool of money.
Oh, my God.
That's the Todd Orlando fund. Keep him around one more year.
Yeah, it's all fun and games till we start going through the scenario about Ugga getting flung around.
That was wild.
Oh, my gosh. If you haven't seen it, you really gotta check. This lady happens to duck. She starts to duck down once, and then she ducks right before the horn rips through the back of her neck. God. She ducks to take a photo. She didn't even know that bull was about to roll right through her skull.
So, people on Twitter that were asking, why would you bring a 2,000-pound beast into a stadium? That's why.
Because we just got 6 minutes out of it.
That's why we do it. I'm going to ask you guys a legit question next.
I don't believe you.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, freezing cold takes. Old takes exposed has kept all the receipts from Georgia players and ex-players who are made comments after the Notre Dame loss and during the Notre Dame loss. And he just clipped them all together for everyone to take a look at.
I don't know why Georgia even played that game. They were so led down by their huge win over Alabama that they got screwed. They didn't get in. They beat Alabama for 3.5 quarters and they didn't get into the CFP. There was going to be a letdown. Also, by the way, that LSU game was beneath them also. That's why they lost that one.
I'm looking right now. I'm looking right now, and Davin Bellamy, who I guess is on the practice squad for the Texans maybe, he was one of the ones chirping the loudest. And then for some reason, I can't find any tweets anymore about...
They had a bunch of their current players also tweet when Notre Dame and OU got their asses kicked. Although OU didn't get, ended up being a closer game. Yeah. I get it. Alabama was, there's whatever, looking on to the next game. Mm-hmm. But a bunch of their current players are tweeting like, oh, CFP, you got it wrong. They had the crying laughter emoji face, all that. And that's fine. So that happens. And then you show up to the game like, oh, I'm not interested. We should have been there. Okay, there's going to be a letdown. I even said it on Monday when we talked about it that I think they have a shot at this because there's going to be a natural letdown. When you've got your coach politicking on national television, forget the players. There's going to be a letdown with the coaching staff also, and that's fine. But we can't just say like they were uninterested the whole game because why were they trying all the way until the end? Why were they trying to get touchdowns at the end? You said, look, Florida State, U of H, that one you can make an argument because from what I remember, maybe my memory's wrong. They were uninterested after a while, and they just kind of like, all right, we know we're going to lose this game. The Bulldogs kept fighting for some reason. Uninterested team, why would you keep fighting?
To me, you just can't make that. You really just can't make that excuse about not, like, do I think Georgia, everything we heard on the broadcast when Holly Rowe talked about it, I think Georgia showed up flat. We've seen this happen lots of times. I didn't think it would happen. I thought they would show up, and then especially after the Notre Dame game, they would show up and all that stuff. They were a little flat. They're flat with a bunch of 4 and 5 stars. And you know what? Once you get a wake-up call with Texas ringing your bell with that first touchdown, you should no longer be flat. You should wake up. The fact is Texas beat their ass. Texas was not only were they ready to play, they were ready to play last year when they played Missouri in the bowl game. They were ready to play against Oklahoma both games. Mm-hmm. They really were. I mean, Oklahoma was the better team in that second one. Texas was the better team in the first one. Texas, Tom Herman had no fear. Todd Orlando had – I listened to Jake Fromm in the press conference, the quarterback for Georgia. He's like, they did a lot of different things. They were showing us – they'd show pressure from one side, bring it from the other. He talked about some other stuff. He basically said
Todd Orlando tricked us, and we weren't ready for Todd Orlando. That's basically what he said. So, like, I don't know what excuses anybody can make when one team beats another team. Say what you want to say about them being flat, and then right after you're done with that, say, but they beat Georgia's ass, because that's what happened.
It did, and it was a good showing. Big
Georgia
game.
Didn't run the ball. They didn't even get to 100 yards rushing.
And they couldn't. They tried. And there were some moments where you go, okay, now Georgia's showing up, and now they're going to do what they do, and which is, you know, they establish the run, and then they beat you from that, right? That's what they're really good at, which, by the way, they started the whole game with, you know, and Jake Fromm this season, he's not just a game manager. And then about a quarter in, the broadcast crew was like, hey, you know, they really got to run the ball here and then let Jake take his shot when possible, which is what? A game manager. Like, they switched the script so fast. Jake Fromm had a better season as a sophomore quarterback, mm-hmm. right? But he is a game manager.
Yeah, no, he is.
It's okay to be a game manager sometimes.
Yeah, he's an elevated game manager. When you have a running game like that, now, can he be more? We'll see. I mean, Sam Ehlinger, I remember the watching him early in his freshman season, and I really loved what you see now, which you've always seen, the gritty stuff. He's tough. He's ultra competitive. He can run when things break down, and he's not a great runner. He's a tough runner, not an explosive runner. But I remember when he was struggling a little bit, and we started hearing the calls for Bushell to come back and become the starter. And Bushell, and I remember thinking, we're all with this young kid, because ultimately this is what's going to win, is grow with the young guy, let him take his lumps, because this is who you want in there. I mean, I remember for Aggie fans or people who have watched football for a while, he really is reminiscent. I mean, he's a much better passer, but he's reminiscent of Bucky, what's his name, from Texas A&M.
Richardson.
Bucky Richardson. He's got that same tough, aggressive, like, just doesn't give a bleep mindset. If you want to take it to another level, they started using him a lot like Tebow yesterday, where they just said, we're just going to give him the ball and let him start banging. And actually, that's not brand new. You've watched him this year. When they get around the goal line, he's Tyrone Swoops now.
That's what he does. It's that same package.
And he's really good at it. Like, he gets in.
He's really good at finding the open hole. He'll wait. He's very patient. And then he'll hit it.
How does it work? He looks so slow in there. And then he's like a freight train once he hits it.
He just waits, man. It's a patient runner.
That particular way of doing things, not a lot of people watch Wake Forest, because why would you watch Wake Forest if you don't have to? But they're the same way. They're almost, it feels like they're too patient at the line. They will hold, because they'll do a lot of read option stuff, and they'll hold the ball in the running back's gut for what feels like 3 seconds. 3 seconds. And they'll approach the line of scrimmage. And they will keep it until the last second. Now, Sam has the ball. So he's running quarterback power, so it's a little different. But some teams do that, where they're pick and choose, and they believe in their offensive line can keep penetration from happening, and he'll just find his way, particularly at the goal line. You don't need much. But it's interesting to watch that happen and then watch him have – is Sam Ehlinger, is he going to survive? Because it feels like he takes so many shots.
He was really good at not taking big hits up into that Baylor game. And that's where you're like – he was really good at getting down. He would avoid the contact. That's what killed him last year, was the unnecessary hits that you mentioned, those hard hits. You're going to get hit when you run the ball 10-plus times with your quarterback. And he's all for it, and he's all Mr. Tough Guy, but you have to be smart about it. You have to be smart about it. And there were moments earlier in the season where he wasn't smart, and it caught up with him with Baylor. But after that, he's been good about it. Yeah, he took some hits yesterday.
And I understand what happened yesterday. You've had enough time off where he's completely healthy from the season, but the body's gotten some rest. So particularly in big games, offenses with quarterbacks like that, they're going to run the football. I mean, it wasn't the same type of situation, but we saw it with the Texans. Mm-hmm. Deshaun and the design runs that was a very prominent thing, and I imagine you'll see it if you have to on Saturday against the Colts. Guys who have running quarterbacks will wait for their moments. And on yesterday, Sam Ehlinger had a couple weeks, multiple weeks off, and they were saying, okay, Sam, you got this, and they gave it to him a lot.
You have to be smart about it. You have to tell your quarterback, Lance, when, as a coach, you got to tell them, look, I'm not going to limit what you do, But you got to be smart about it. You can't take unnecessary hits. Slide when you need to. Is it worth taking a hard hit over 3 yards? Probably not.
Sam Ehlinger is going to take every hard hit imaginable.
That's what he took him last year, and that was a problem.
Yeah, but that's who he is, and he's not playing. So I have my kids are already asking me yesterday, is he going to, you know, where is he going to get drafted? Is he going to get drafted? I had somebody on Twitter ask me that. I mean, Sam Ehlinger is not a he's not the prototype of a player who's drafted inside the first 3 rounds. My guess is when it's time for him to come out, he can throw it a little bit. You know, I'm going to have to study it. Right off the top of my head, you're looking at a guy who is a, you know, second or third teamer to me is rounds 5 through 7, maybe. I mean, he's not – there's nothing – I don't see anything special about him, but who cares? That's a different thing. Like, I think he's a really – he's turning into a good college quarterback. He still has a ways to go, but you can see him getting better.
He'll back up Drew Brees when Taysom Hill leaves.
Yeah.
Like, he'll just be the new
Drew will still be there. Yeah. Drew will still be there. Taysom was a great athlete. By the way, so when we come back, I want to touch on something Tom Herman said after the game to Holly Rowe and then again on the podium, because he was throwing a little – it was his little slick way of throwing shade at last year's senior class, or actually their junior class who left early. He wasn't afraid to let people know, if you knew how to read between the lines, that he was a lot bigger fans of the players in the locker room this year than last. And maybe he should have been. 7:33, it's the bench. What you want, I got what you need. Shorty, what you want, I got what you need.
16-year-old.
Huh. They check it to 10.
I got coach calling. A young Shaq was fine.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, I'm glad that Dell is back, because our last producer let a slick word on the air.
Yeah, Bobby. No, who was it? Harrison? Yeah, Harrison. Well, it was kind of my fault. I'll take.
Tell what happened.
So we played Steve Francis's Finer Things. And
which I've heard a million times.
Heard the chorus a million times.
I guess that's what it is, because I didn't know that word was in there.
We let the song play a little bit, and there was a word that shouldn't have been said that was said. We have to dump it. But that was on me.
He didn't let it on the air.
But the stream caught it.
Who cares what the stream
did? And we offended the stream.
They don't get offended.
The stream really is the dark internet. Our stream is the dark internet.
The stream doesn't get offended, because the stream gets to hear everything, and they want it that way. Like, they want to hear anything that gets dumped, they want to hear. Mm-hmm.
So you had something on Tom Herman.
So let me see if you guys caught this. And you would have had to watch after the game. Holly Rowe caught up with him right after the game, and then he was on the podium. After the game, he made two comments to Holly Rowe. He said, the players, I can't say enough. This is going to go down as the most impressive senior class we've ever had in basically 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
And he said, I can't say enough about these guys. We went from being, he said, we became a player-led team instead of a coach-fed team. This class, the impact, this class, we're growing. Then he got on a podium in the middle of the stadium and said something very similar about how he can't say enough about these guys. They bought in. Oh, he kept using the phrase bought in, bought in, bought in. This class bought in from the very beginning, because he was being slick and basically throwing shade at the class last year, who, frankly, that coaching staff was not real fond, I don't think, of those guys who were supposed to be the leaders. And my guess is, I'll just put them out there, the guys who got drafted, Holton Hill, Deshaun Elliott, Malik Jefferson, Connor Williams, and I can't remember who the fifth was who didn't play in the bowl game. I think there were 5 guys who sat out, and I can't remember who the fifth was. But I don't think that coaching staff thought a lot about those guys. And I remember they didn't recruit those guys. I remember when Malik came in, he was the biggest deal. Like, I was at that Notre Dame game in Notre Dame when Texas played them, And I was like, I'm going to have to scout him one day, obviously. I'm watching a freshman. You could tell he didn't have great instincts, but he's a great athlete and all that. And sometimes that happens. You get in there, and the class that's immediately leaving, whether it's through they're leaving early for the draft or they're seniors, a lot of times those are the guys who a coaching staff wants to buy in, but sometimes those guys don't buy in because you're not part of who they are. And some of the leaders who are maybe borderline players, but they're still leaders in the locker room, they get pushed aside because you can't help us when you're not the future and we're looking for the future. And you start trying to find who the next leaders are who are freshmen and sophomores. And I think there was a disconnect between that class last year that left, clearly, because, I mean, Holton Hill was not going to be a first-round pick. Deshaun Elliott was not going to be a first-round pick. Connor Williams thought he was, but he wasn't. Malik Jefferson was not going to be. I had a third on him whenever he came out. I'd already written him up. And I think they didn't play because they didn't like Tom Herman.
Yeah,
I think that's ultimately what it was.
And you could tell that there were moments where they wanted to buy in and they were about to buy in. But look, man, there's a reason why there's always that joke about, you're not my dad, Jeff. Right? Like, if that's not your coaching staff.
My dad had that in Pittsburgh happens. With Alan Faneca.
Yeah, like when you're the stepdad, when Charlie's the one that recruited you, Charlie's my dad. He's the one who brought me here.
Yeah.
And Charlie was like, go, he didn't get a fair shot. Maybe that's what they thought, although they lost to Kansas and it was time. Right. There's some of that happens. Like, you're not my dad. You're not my dad. Tom.
Yeah, I think they both went in there. You know, it is important for everyone to get everyone to buy in. Tom Herman had to come to Houston, and, you know, he did what he did in Houston. And I've heard that there were some U of H guys who weren't big fans of Tom Herman. Tom Herman coaches hard. Like, he's from the Urban Meyer school. A lot of people think that he is a lot like Urban Meyer and tries to pattern himself after Urban. For those who don't know, I mean, Urban coaches hard. Texas coaches hard. If you ever... You're not ever going to see a practice, but I've been to a practice and they, you know, they coach them up. It's nothing excessive. It's not like Alabama where it's really hard.
It's but not Maryland where they're.
But I don't think, no, it's not that. But I don't think, you know, Tom Herman believes there's a way to win. I'm going to follow that way. And if you're unhappy about it, then, but, you know, he did the Paul Wall thing here. He has an idea about how to recruit. He has an idea on how to get guys on board. And I think if Longhorn fans who haven't bought into Tom Herman are maybe similar to Texans fans who don't buy into Bill O'Brien because they don't they think they're arrogant or they don't like the personalities. And I think there's some of that on both those guys.
Oh, I think absolutely.
There are Texans fans who just don't like Bill O'Brien the person. And they let it cloud whether or not they think he's, you know, a lot of people just, he's too dumb to actually put something on tape to make the other team prepare. Like, no, he's not.
Yeah, come on. They don't like him. They don't like him in a press conference setting, maybe.
Yeah,
you really know him from.
But you can have problems with, I mean, I got no problems with people saying, I don't like his clock management. I don't think he does this.
Yes.
That's all legitimate, valid concerns. I might agree with some of it, not agree with some of it, but that's fine. I think there are a lot of Longhorn fans who have not bought in to Tom Herman because they think he's a little arrogant over not doing anything. What does that change now? Does this game change that?
I hope it does for a lot of fans.
Mac was always a handshaker and a glad hander, and he got everyone on his side early on because he wasn't who did Mac take over for? The sweater wearer who came from Illinois. God, I'll remember his name in just a second.
Makovic?
Yeah, John Makovic. Yeah. The wine drinker and all that, and Texas fans didn't like him. He didn't fit the culture, and Mac fit right in. I think Tom Herman will fit into the Texas culture.
He will, and he brings that new attitude. Like you mentioned, it's different now, the way you recruit players that you've got to have. You've got to have
swag,
that buzz.
Are y'all going to get a swag copter?
No.
Are y'all getting a swag copter?
No. Again, we can't dip into the pool to keep Orlando here. We can't be buying swag copters.
There's lots of money. You've got a few Tillmans.
Yeah, why are we pretending like Texas is crying poor.
Stop it. All right? No, stop.
We're a budget-conscious university now. All right.
No, you're not.
Well, you know
not.
What? No, initially, those
shit
lockers.
You shit the 2,000-pound animal to Louisiana.
Yeah.
You're not budget-conscious.
Did you hear about the lockers, the $10,000
yes,
a locker?
Yes, we did hear about it.
All right. It was initially supposed to be $18,000, but being a budget-conscious university, a state institution.
Well, unlike you, they didn't buy into a 3D TV like you did.
Yeah.
Unlike you, Texas, like, we don't need 3D TVs.
It's the future, Del.
No, it's not.
In 2012, 3D TV was the future. ESPN put money into it. All the platforms put money into it. It's just you guys are so slow.
You know what else is the future? Those big-ass movies that look like the size of albums. I remember Chris Solis had one, and it wasn't Blu-ray. It was before Blu-ray, and they were the great big discs, and they were like, this is going to change movies forever. The quality is unbelievable. And then Blu-ray came out, like, we can do Blu-ray, and then HD, and then 4K, like, what are y'all talking about?
Which, by the way, 4K is the future, and 4K streaming is pretty dope if you have the right internet speed. But if you have just 4K on DirecTV, there's like two channels that do it.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I'm waiting.
Yeah, and that's what 3D used to be. 3D. I was like, I watched it one time at my brother's house. It was the Big East tournament. ESPN did it. I'm like, well, if they're going to do it for the Big East, they're going to do it for everyone.
I got a 4K TV in 2015. I'm like, they're like, okay, we don't have programming yet. Because I saw some World Cup preview stuff or all that. And I'm like, oh, my God, I need to get this. And I just gotten a bonus check for ratings. And I'm like, I'm going to spend it on this. And then they, yeah. But, I mean, it's not the program's supposed to be rolled out this summer for DirecTV. This is 2015. And I remember calling DirecTV like, hey, when are y'all, when's the all the 4K stuff coming? Like, oh, I think, you know, it'll be coming at some point. I don't really think we have a timetable. Like, well, the guy at Best Buy said it was coming this summer. No. It's everything has to be filmed on a 4D camera. So, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, so like next summer? Or? Yeah, probably. And I'm still waiting on DirecTV.
All my 4K programming is from Netflix.
All my 4K.
Yeah, now.
Yeah, yeah, now it's cool because
you go watch Ozark on Netflix.
You can really see every beard hair on Tyler. Yes,
it's crazy.
Now it's cool, but up until it was last summer when I think Netflix switched over to 4K streaming, the only thing you could do to showcase your 4K was going on YouTube and putting in like an animal video.
Yeah.
Sony's. It was like Sony's demo tape. That's all it was.
And it's still, there's still things. They have to be.
You gotta see this 4K, bro.
They gotta and be there's just a lizard. 4K. Yeah. I know. Oh it's my a frog. God. Look at these waterfalls. Like, there's a channel that shows that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I will say that I was watching with our old buddy Frank Bullington. He came over. Really, it was the day the hurricane really hit us. But we were sitting in the afternoon, like, this hurricane's gonna miss us, like idiots. I'm showing him Ozark, and he got too freaked out because it was so vivid on a 4K TV. He goes, I need you to just... He goes, you got to switch this off to, like, HD and get it off 4K. He goes, this is really bothering me. It's too vivid. It looks... Like, he didn't like it. He didn't like it.
It's too real. Okay, I want to ask this college football question. It's not a UT one. Don't worry, Jackie. Stop listening if you have an issue, Jackie. He's like, oh, I think there's an Austin station streaming right
now. Wait a minute. No. You guys the champions of Texas?
No. Okay, we were last year. And we have to pass it on to Baylor. Baylor, congratulations. Why is Baylor the champion of Texas?
Because they won the Texas
Bowl. They won the Academy Texas Bowl. They're the
champion. That's the champion of Texas?
Yeah.
Oh,
Texas Bowl.
I thought you could decide who the champions of Texas were.
Baylor is currently the Texas Bowl champion.
Texas Bowl decides who the champion of the state is?
Say it again.
Texas Bowl.
We are now champions of everything sweet. So for the calendar year...
Champions of dessert?
Yeah. Sugar Bowl.
So that big, like...
Pecan pie bread pudding?
Yeah.
Every time you take a bite, Texas is back, folks.
Are you the champion of things with sugar in their tank?
Yeah.
Okay.
Slow down. I'm on.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.754, short segment here because we
We've been coming up with great stuff. Our show's really great today.
It really is.
It really is.
Okay, great. Let me ask you a legit question, both of you guys. All right, because one, your perspective, being a guy that scouts these kids.
If the Longhorn would have gored Matthew McConaughey, would the game have gone on?
No. It would have been a national
If he gored
day
him, but he lived.
It would have been a good movie. It would have been a good movie. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I feel like McConaughey would have been like, he would have got wheeled off in his gurney, but he would have put the thumbs up, and that would have gave everyone a sign to keep playing.
All right.
Let's go, Texas.
Hey, Texas.
Last week, since we were all off for winter break, we didn't even talk about how he's going to be the chancellor of culture or commissioner of culture for the new basketball stadium.
They're trying so
I love it.
Okay.
What was the title?
So he went there, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he
do
went
we know?
There. He did do. He was part of the radio film TV program. Yeah. RFT. He was part of that.
Did he?
I think he eventually graduated.
So, like,
because he landed the role in Dazed and Confused while he was there. So,
look this up.
Yeah.
So, is LeBron James right now the biggest T-shirt fan in the country in any sport? Like, you know, he's an Ohio State T-shirt fan. He feels like he kind of went there.
Yeah, he would have gone there if he didn't turn pro.
So he claims them.
Yeah.
But Longhorn Scott calls that T-shirt fans. Like, if you don't go somewhere and you claim a team, then that means you're a T-shirt fan.
McConaughey actually did go there, though.
You're positive?
Yes, yes. Okay. Because they told us all the time.
So you don't have to
there.
Finish? Is that the T-shirt fan rule? Like, you don't have to finish?
I guess not. Did LeBron get a degree from Ohio State, one of those honorary degrees? Yeah.
No,
I don't think so.
Okay. What was the official title for Matthew McConaughey basketball? What was it? The Chancellor
of... Minister of Culture.
Minister of Culture. I love that. That's so good. Okay, legit sports question. I'm getting sidetracked.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, and I know it's one of these silly hyperbole questions, but I just want to ask you guys from your perspective. Clemson, Alabama, clearly the two best teams. It's not... even close.
Right.
Right? Like, it showed on the field, all that stuff. Maybe OU. Like, they're there. They've got Kyler Murray, so you stay in games. But between the Irish and OU, is there one non-quarterback player in the NFL that if you put that one player on either of those teams, they win that game that they faced? So for the Irish, if they – you give them Todd Gurley, maybe. Do they beat Clemson?
No, not they got their ass kicked.
OU.
Not Todd Gurley.
Well, whoever it is. Whoever. I just wanted to throw one name out there.
I saw you put that out there on Twitter.
Okay, so I
think OU Alabama's a closer one.
So, like, Luke Kuechly.
See, I think a wrecker up front. I was thinking if they got Aaron Donald so they didn't have to commit their linebacker so much to the run game and they could actually stay inside instead of, you know, giving Tua 40 yards.
It would have to be up the
pass.
Middle. Probably up the middle for Oklahoma. Yeah. Oklahoma, it makes you think. Maybe.
If you gave them a wrecker up front where Alabama simply couldn't block the guy, so their terrible linebackers weren't out of position every play, every RPO, so they could actually maybe keep Tua from hitting a wide open
what
slant.
What if you gave them Travis Kelce, Oklahoma?
A tight end?
And so now you got Kelce, because they lost Mark Andrews, so they're not the same with that position. What if you now have CeeDee Lamb? I mean, it still doesn't help them defensively.
Yeah. No, I think it's defense.
I feel like you got to find a guy that makes Alabama – what's the word? But try to find a guy that wrecks Alabama up front.
But even
make
with
them game plan around him,
they double. See, and that's what I was thinking. They could go double on Aaron, right? And then you still have some time to throw. And those line or their cornerbacks, as you've mentioned 100 times, which is the funniest thing ever, is
they're malnourished.
Yeah,
Oklahoma's cornerbacks don't look like they're D1 corners. It looks like they get the smallest guys possible to go play there, maybe because they think quicker is better in the Big 12. And I know their recruiting style because they're pulling a kid from South Florida who's like 5'9", 5'10", 160 pounds. He fits right into what they like to do. But their linebacker plays terrible too. Murray, who was a starter last year, and he was terrible against Georgia, was terrible against Alabama. I don't know. Maybe Kuechly's the guy, but you still got to find a way to wreck Alabama up front. I don't know if Kuechly could do that by himself.
All right. So, yeah, I just want to ask you, too, like, if there was one guy, does it change it?
That's a good question, but I don't think one guy that's a non-quarterback can change it. I just don't think it's possible.
Yeah,
with the flaws that we saw them. Definitely no for Notre Dame.
Yeah, and as long as Motley's out there playing corner, I don't know who's saving Oklahoma. Because maybe one lockdown corner – but then you still have to guard Ruggs and Judy, if even if you lock down Smith or however you want to, whoever you want to put your number one on. Oklahoma has a bad secondary.
Matthew McConaughey's dad played for the Kentucky Wildcats and Houston Cougars.
All right.
Then he went on and he was drafted in the 27th round by the Green Bay Packers. Is that even possible they had 27 rounds? He was released before the season began and played, never played an official game. He also is a relative of Confederate Brigadier General Dandridge McRae. He graduated. He went to school from 89 and graduated in 93. He spent a year off in Australia. So he did graduate from Texas, I guess, in the allotted time. Okay. RTF. You're right.
There you
At
go.
Least that's what, you know.
Yeah, radio, television, film.
Wikipedia.
I applied to that school. And I didn't get in because it was the wrong school.
You got to get in?
Well, I didn't know. I was like, well, I just applied. Because my freshman year, I got capped. Cap means you have to go to one of the other UT campuses, San Antonio, Arlington, wherever. And then you apply after that.
A side door.
A side door. You get in, right? So I applied to the RTF school, and I didn't get in. I was like, oh, well, what do I do now? And then I called the chancellor up. I was like, hey, is there anything I can do to get in? I want to do broadcast journalism. And he goes, yeah, we have a broadcast journalism program that you can apply to. I was like, wait, there's a whole there's a whole school for this? And then I got in.
And they're like,
side note,
are you going into TV? Radio?
Yeah,
I want to go into radio on TV. RTF.
That's what I didn't know any better.
That's different.
When you're my parents didn't know.
Dan Holden asked the question, is Bevo well marbled? This is no one's making him turn him into a steak. Listen. First of all, he didn't gore anyone.
Didn't.
He didn't gore anyone. We just talked about what would have happened if that one lady got caught.
Wait a minute. So if a pit bull bite snaps at your kid but doesn't actually make contact, we don't consider putting the pit bull down?
No, you put him in classes.
No. Don't take him to man's best friend.
Mm-hmm. For a well-trained
Bevo. For a well-trained
Bevo.
Longhorn, call man's best friend.